How does the Holy Spirit get from heaven into the hearts of God's people? Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This program comes to you every week at this time over this station. Today we'll consider the work and person of the Holy Spirit some more. But first let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination upon this needy servant, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is from the 14th chapter of John, beginning with verse 15. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Last week I shared with you, number one, that the Holy Spirit is not a thing, the Holy Spirit is not in it, but a person. Secondly, I share with you what the relationship of the Holy Spirit is to the Trinity. And thirdly, I share with you the requirements to receive the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to highlight some further truths that come to us from this text in John chapter 14. By the way, it will help you tremendously if every time you start listening to this radio broadcast that you have your Bible with you, that you open your Bible to the text I share with you. Now, first of all, let us consider God's part in sending the Holy Spirit. Later on, we shall consider our part in receiving the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes through Jesus the Son and through God the Father. You can't get the Holy Spirit without these two wonderful persons. Everything that God the Father does, or God the Son does, or God the Holy Spirit does, each does in harmony and in cooperation with the other two. Now then we have verse 16, which makes this very plain, where Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Here we have the Trinity mentioned once again in a single verse. Jesus does the praying, the Father does the sending, and the Holy Spirit does the going. So Jesus said, "I pray." Did you ever hear somebody say that God does nothing but in answer to prayer? If that is not entirely true, it is certainly true to a great degree. My friend, are you a praying Christian? Do you pray before you go to work, that God will help you at work, that God will help you with your co-workers? Do you pray before you take your car out of the driveway, that you will have protection? Do you pray before you go to church that the pastor will be anointed and that you will have a hearing heart and not a critical heart toward that minister? Do you pray about everything that can be prayed for and should be prayed for? Jesus was a praying person. He prayed practically for everything, and that's what he wants us to do. So we will be delivered from all kinds of unnecessary troubles. Pray ahead of time. Pray ahead of the devil. And God will bless you. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father." Someone has to pray for the Holy Spirit to come down into God's people. Someone has to pray for it. And Jesus said, "I will pray the Father." Now notice that Jesus did not say, "I am praying," but "I will pray." So when you think of Jesus praying to the Father to send the Holy Spirit, you have to think about the future as far as this text is concerned. When was the Holy Spirit sent? He was sent on the day of Pentecost. Where was Jesus on the day of Pentecost? The answer is in heaven. So I believe Jesus prayed when he was in heaven, and when he saw the conditions ripe and ready in the hearts of his followers in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, then he prayed, "Father, would you please now send the Holy Spirit into these believers?" So the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost came as a result of Jesus praying. I want you to know the Holy Spirit never comes to any one person without Jesus praying and the Father sending him. The Holy Spirit is never sent to any one person in the world without Jesus having had a part in it and without his Father having sent that Holy Spirit. A person never receives the Holy Spirit unbeknownst to God, the Father, or unbeknownst to Jesus, the Son. That tells us the work of the Lord Jesus is not finished. I know when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished," but that refers to his work of redemption as the Lamb of Calvary. That refers to his sacrificial work as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That refers to him having lived 33 years on this earth without ever having touched sin in any way, except when he took our sins upon him on Calvary's tree. That work was finished. But my friend, when Jesus came to heaven, then his work resumed in a life of prayer, and this is why the Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, that he's praying for his saints all the time, even right now. So if you think about that, Jesus praying for all the saints all the time, if you're one of those saints and you're spending more time watching television than praying, while Jesus has been praying all night and all day, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Perhaps all television watching should stop for most of us. So the Holy Spirit does not come to anyone without Jesus and God the Father having a part in that coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Now this word comforter comes from the Greek word parakletos, and it means an advocate, a comforter, or an intercessor. Isn't it interesting that the first time the Holy Spirit is introduced to the disciples in these 3 years, he is referred to as an advocate. An advocate is someone who speaks for another, someone who represents another, such as an ambassador represents the country that sent him to the land that he's in. When the ambassador of the United States to Russia speaks, he speaks for the president of the United States, and he has the backing of all the military might and power of the United States in his words. And so the Holy Spirit comes into the lives of obedient believers, and he is the advocate for the Lord Jesus. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ himself with all his power and authority. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it is as if you then receive Jesus himself. So it says, "I will send you another comforter. I will go away," Jesus says, "but I will not leave you without me, without me being with you, but I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit." In the exact words of Jesus, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." The Holy Spirit comes to us with the divine attributes that are found in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He comes to us with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned in Galatians 5. Where Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance," which is self-control. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or more exactly, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit without having the Holy Spirit himself. So those who do not have love, joy, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, and faithfulness, those who skip around and are up and down and in and out of obedience, those who do not have the fruit of the Holy Spirit do not have the Holy Spirit himself. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you." That is, Jesus is coming to his obedient, faithful ones and the person of the Holy Spirit. That is found more plainly in the 20th verse of John 14, where Jesus says, "At that day you shall know," and he refers to the day of Pentecost, "that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." That's a very close relationship, isn't it? Jesus, if Jesus is in the Father, and if we are in him, and if he is in us through the Holy Spirit, my friend, we are right in the middle of the Trinity. Can you imagine that? It is here where the doctrinal phrase of the Apostle Paul is born, "Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says in Colossians 1:27, the Apostle Paul, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Notice Paul says that Christ in us is a mystery. There's no way you can explain it. It's too great for the human mind to comprehend and for human language to express it. That's what God has for us. Through the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the ambassador of Jesus Christ, through Him coming into our lives, we also have God the Father and Jesus the Son in our lives. This is brought out very clearly in John 14:23, where Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we," notice it says we, "will come to him and make our," it says our here, "our abode with him." Think of that. The Creator of the universe, as I shared with you last week, who created all the birds in the sky and all the fish in the sea and all the creeping and leaping things in the earth, who created all the insects. I just learned the other day there are 280,000 species of beetles alone. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. This great, mighty Creator is dwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Is there any greater gift that man can possibly receive on this side of eternity than that? Now then, finally, coming back to my first point, what causes the Holy Spirit to come into our lives? Well, on the heavenly side, it is through the prayer of Jesus praying to the Father to send the Holy Spirit. But when will Jesus pray? When is the human heart ready to receive the Holy Spirit? Three times, I want to say it again, three times in this passage alone, Jesus brings out the requirements for us to receive the Holy Spirit. The first one is in the 15th verse, where Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." So it is obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey me. These preachers who lay hands on disobedient believers to receive the Holy Spirit are way out of line with God's will. Oh, they may make a man fall over, but, my friend, disobedient men falling over will not receive the Holy Spirit, but a foreign spirit. The second reference is in verse 21 on the same chapter here. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." That is, by the Holy Spirit. Again, love is coupled with obedience. Love and obedience are indelibly joined together in the mind of God. The proof of whether you and I love the Lord is if we obey Him. Let's not say we love the Lord if we don't obey Him. The third reference is in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." There is no way by which any one of us can become the recipient of the residency of the Holy Spirit without obedience to what the Lord asks us to do. This is also brought out in Acts 5:32 in the apostolic teaching, where Peter says that God has given the Holy Spirit to as many as obey Him. So, my friend, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you also have all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, it is because you are not living a life obedient to God. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.